There's a very famous question that is brought by, is quoted by Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer, of why did Hashem not place Yom Kippur before Rosh Hashanah? So that everyone could enter Rosh Hashanah when they are meritorious and pure. It's a very basic question. If we understand that Yom Kippur is about the dry cleaning experience of coming out pressed and clean, would that not make more sense to be in that state when we're being Mamluch Hashem, when we're coronating God as King, and when in Rosh Hashanah so much is on the line, Banai, Chayim, Mizonai, children, livelihood, our own lives are on the line. Would it not be better to be judged when we're looking our best, rather when we've just, you know, done a preliminary type of cleaning in Elul, the best of us, perhaps? It would make much more sense to be judged and walk into this monumentous experience when we're totally pure. Why is it that Yom Kippur is after Rosh Hashanah and not the other way around? And there are many answers to this question, very famous question, and I'd like to try to look at a number of answers to try to get a sense of what Rosh Hashanah is about, and we'll really see that there is a dialectic going on here, and a tension going on here that can best be described as Avinu Malkeinu, as we will see, our Father, our King. One answer that the Koch Vayor, Rav Yitzchak Blazer, brings the name of his Rebbe in source number 3 is that Yom Kippur is such a high, exalted day of spirituality that it's a very hard day to reach. So Kadosh Baruch Hu almost did us a favor. It gave us Rosh Hashanah, which is a day which we can relate to. It's a day about our personal needs. It's a day that we're struggling with our own, you know, livelihood and life in this world. And that allows us to enter into a more spiritual state to then, almost like a step ladder, to then reach the Yom Kippur total spiritual experience of Kapara Savonos, of forgiveness of sins. And I'm bringing this down just so we have a sense that there are many different answers offered to this question. The first of the two approaches that we're going to take, in approach two, we'll have 2A and 2B, Mirtz Hashem. The first approach is the approach of the Siach Yitzchak, really based on Rav Chasko Levenstein. And he says the following. He says, this is really not a question in source 4. Ki Rosh Hashanah hu yom din nora v'ayim. We have to really understand what Rosh Hashanah is about. It's a day of tremendous judgment, of fear, of trepidation. Shigam achar kaparat yom kippurim hayat kasher liskopo. Even after the purity of Yom Kippur, we would still be challenged to be able to be zocha, to be meritorious in din. Shafilu malachim yechapezun uchil rato yochezun. Even the angels are trembling on Rosh Hashanah, ki lo yiskun v'einecha badim. So va'etzel yiskop yom hadin eina kaparat avodo. We thought our original mindset was, well, how can we be successful in judging Rosh Hashanah? Through forgiveness of sin. Now that's not the answer. Because if we have that, then we're going to come in front of the king with a hargasha, with a feeling that he's tahor, the zaka. You're going to walk in front of God saying, feel so pure today, feel fresh and clean. And then that's going to give a feeling, even if it's a subliminal feeling, of greatness, of a fullness of heart, of standing upright. And that's not the way to walk into Rosh Hashanah. Ela adaraba Rosh Hashanah, and this is the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, dekama dekayif inish daifei tvei, nichele. The more bent over you are, the better it is. Because Rosh Hashanah is about recognizing that we are lishvor levavo b'shivron levav lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to realize our brokenness in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can we be successful on the Yom HaDin? The answer is to have emas hadin, to have fear of the judgment. And when a person feels like, you know, I'm pure and I'm deserving of then you're not going to be successful in the judgment. But when you have this feeling of who am I and who am I to be, you know, granted anything from Hashem, and that feeling of trepidation, and I look at myself and I say, I'm almost embarrassed to come in front of Hashem because I'm so full of sin, that feeling of embarrassment, that feeling of almost like, you know, who am I, that is the very nekud, the very aspect that will make us successful in the judgment. Naftali Amsterdam said in the name of his Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that he would gather his family together, boys, girls, B'nai Beiso, and he would say, be very careful the first 3 hours of the day, it's Shat HaDin HaNora, it's the intensity of the din, and they have to be careful what you say and what you do, and you should learn Igeret HaGra with his family. And the Mashgiach, Rav Chaskel, once said in yeshiva that you have to think about every movement that you do and everything you say on Rosh Hashanah. Everything that you do and say counts. Why? Because we know that every day, although it's a Yom Hadin, it's a day of judgment, it's really a day of judgment for that day. But Rosh Hashanah, Kadosh Baruch Hu judges us in 5C, L'chol Hashanah, for the entire year. Ulefamim l'shanim rabos, and at times for many years, and at times as well, the Tosfos writes, and Rishonim hold, that it's also a din for chaye olam haba, for the future world. And that's a major question, which he's spoken about in the past. Just like to highlight for a moment here, and this is source 6, of what exactly are we being judged for in Rosh Hashanah? Are we being judged for Olam Hazeh, this world, or are we being judged for Olam Haba? So some Rishonim hold that we're being judged for Olam Hazeh in regard, the way it affects our Olam Haba. What does that mean? It means that if Hashem were to beam us up right now, He were to take away our neshama at this moment, where would we be in Olam Haba? Where would we be in the next world? And dependent on where we would be, so then we have to clear up some business down here. We may need to get rewarded for some of the things we've done, so we won't be rewarded there, or not to the same extent. Or we need to get yisurin, challenges down here, so that we're worthy of that state up above. So this world, and what's decided for us in this world, has ramification for what will be in the Olam HaEmes. And as we know, the Gidulei Musar of Gedalia Eisman in source number 9 points out that the Olam HaEmes is almost like a frozen world. Although other people's deeds can affect you moving up or down, you are more or less frozen in that world. That recognize that this is the world of Maisim, and recognize that we need to be able to come in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu with as much humility as possible, recognizing and being contrite over what we've done wrong, so that we're zocha for a positive deed, a positive judgment in this world and the next. And this feeling of dependency on Hashem is what the Shari Derech Rav Freiman brings from the Rav Chaim Friedlander. And he notes in source number 11, he says, Ve'im tomar, if a Jew should say, Baruch Hashem, I have a salary that comes in every month, and I have some money put away, and I have tremendous talents, and I have good friends and a good family. So, why should I come into Rosh Hashanah feeling so dependent on Hashem? And the answer is, Ela Adam Ladat, the bold in 11, Shako Mashiachlo, we need to understand and really internalize that everything we have, Hurak Biratzon Habara Yisparach, is only because God willed us to have this. That Kama Shabore Rotsa Yeshlo, and to the extent that God wants us to have this, we'll have this. And if for any reason Hashem decides that we shouldn't have this, it's gone, bin rega. And we have seen this so often, unfortunately, in our lives, that people lo'aleinu lose their parnasa, that people get sick, and all of these things that happen, lo'aleinu, a person is sick, all the money in the world and all the influence isn't going to help the person. We have to realize our dependency on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and our mindset has to be ka'ani v'ra'a she'en lo klum. We have to approach a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rosh Hashanah, like a poor person who has absolutely nothing, bent over, recognizing we are totally dependent on you, Hashem. There's a certain emas hadin, there's a certain trepidation. Right? Think before you do or say anything on Rosh Hashanah. As Rav Wolkin points out in The World Within, the Rosh Hashanah in 13a and B is a day of spiritual renewal, an integral part of the process of repentance. However, the attainment of a contrite and broken heart is a necessary prerequisite to experience a spiritual renewal. Only when a person is contrite and brokenhearted is he disengaged from his inner corruptions. Then and only then is he able to thoroughly cleanse himself from every sin and transgression, to perform complete repentance and to attain spiritual renewal. So the first idea, my friends, it's a very beautiful idea, very basic idea, of why is Yom Kippur after Rosh Hashanah, so we shouldn't walk in feeling all fresh and clean and pure. Like, you know, you can imagine a person coming to a party dressed in his finest, and then he's, you know, very comfortable at the party and feeling on top of the party. If a person just comes from work and he's all sweaty, and particularly if he's a blue-collar worker, and he's, you know, oil stains all over the place, and, you know, he was oiling a car right before he came to this party, and there's oil stains over everything he's wearing, and he's in jeans, and he doesn't, you know, you don't feel the same way. You know, you stand on the side a little bit more, you're a little bit more embarrassed. That's the state of being that helps us reach the state of being of kafur, of bent over, of recognizing how we are totally in the hands of Hashem. And we shouldn't think for a moment, you know me, I can handle this. I have everything I need. God, you know, I'll just go through the motions. No. No motions. We are totally dependent on the Ribono Shel Olam. That's approach one. The second approach, 2A and 2B, take a look at Rosh Hashanah from a different perspective. The Gedulei Musar of Gedaliah Eisman, Shkiach of Kol Torah at 14, notes, one of the most fundamental prerequisites that we need to speak about is that a person should do pu'ulot mitoch hakara sheyesh mitzvah. That when we do mitzvot, we have to have the recognition that there's somebody commanding me to do the mitzvot. Shelo yinateke tapu'ulot hatavot, that we should have a disjointment from connecting the actions we do, mimakura adnu vatzivui, from the one who's commanding us. This is the idea of kabbalat ol machuso, kabbalat ol machut shamayim, accepting upon ourselves the kingship of God, that the God is our king, is commanding me, I am connected to him, and I am ready to do his bidding. And this is why the Gemara Brachos speaks about that Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Lama Kadma Shema Vayam Shemoa. Why is the first paragraph of Shema and Vahafta before Vayam Shemoa? Elas Kadeshi Kabel Olav Ol Machut Shemaim Tchila, Vacharkach Yikabel Olav Ol Mitzvos. First you have to have Ol Machut Shemaim. First you have to recognize that there's a Borei Olam, there's a Creator, and then you can talk about Mitzvos. Shil Kabbalat Ol Mitzvos Nitzrachag Damasho Kabbalat Ol Machut Shemaim. Kedei L'shayech Ekiyu HaMitzvos L'machusso Yisbarach, that you connect, you're doing the Mitzvos to Hashem. Now this sounds like a no-brainer. Duh, why am I doing this Mitzvah? Because God commanded me. It's not such a no-brainer. Because we know, my friends, that this is one of the greatest challenges we have in our lives. We could say a bracha and not be thinking about God. And even if we're thinking about God, we're not realizing that this is a mitzvah that God's commanded me to say this bracha. I don't have this understanding before I cross an old lady across the street. I do it because I want to feel good. It makes me feel good to help somebody else out. But what I need to have is an understanding that God commanded me to help this old lady across the street. So that if it's difficult to help this old lady, I realize I'm doing this because God commanded me. I remember once, many, many years ago, that we were at the Kotel, and there was this old lady who had a lot of bags who needed help. So I said, okay, my husband said, why don't you go help her? I helped her, and she was walking out of the old city. And she walked through the Arab Shuk, through Shar Shechem. I have never been so terrified. Well, I shouldn't say never. There have been more other times I've been terrified. This was one of those terrifying moments of my life. So here I'm helping this old lady. man, I don't feel good about this. I'm really nervous. And she's so comfortable, and there are Arabs looking at us from both sides. Shar Shechem doesn't make me feel comfortable. I didn't walk back to the Shuk. I didn't walk back to the Shar Yafo. Why am I doing this? I'm doing this because the Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded me. That idea of a mitzvah, why do I daven? Why do I do mitzvot? It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded me to do this. And this is the reason why Rosh Hashanah is before Yom Kippur. Because first and foremost, I have to understand that there's Ribono Shel Olam. First and foremost, I have to understand that there's Malchus. And that I have to see where am I in terms of accepting God as King. And only then can I look at my mitzvos and aveiros and see where do they fall within this parameter of have I done God's will or not. But if I don't believe that they're coming from Ribono Shel Olam, then the whole system of mitzvos really seems empty. And this, my friends, I think in a very concrete level, is something to think about two fruits that play a major role on the Rosh Hashanah table. And that's the pomegranate, the rimon, and the tapuach, the apple. And there's a lot of Torah on why these fruits were chosen. But one idea which is brought down in the Sefer Bavavi Mishkan Evneh in the first chapter is that a pomegranate, we say, shibuz chuyotena karimon, that our good deeds should increase like the pomegranate. The pomegranate's positive aspect is that it has a lot of seeds. No doubt about it. But there's a challenge in the pomegranate. And that is each seed is in its own sack. It's in its own unique place. The problem with the pomegranate is we can't live a pomegranate life. Yes, we need to do a lot of mitzvot. But we need to be able to realize that our mitzvot aren't an entity in and of themselves. And that's where the apple has to be alongside the pomegranate. Because the apple has one core, and the seeds are in that core. And we need to understand that there is a unifying factor in all the mitzvot we do. And that unifying factor is that there's a core, there's a mitzvah, there's a savta, there's a commander, there's an enjoyment. That when I do a mitzvah, I'm connected to a Kodesh Baruch Hu when I do this. That, my friends, is what Rosh Hashanah is about. Rosh Hashanah is about, over and over again, Melech, 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 is about God's kingship. I need to understand that there is a Ribono Shel Olam who's commanded me to do these things. Once I've understood that there's Ribono Shel Olam who has commanded me, then I can look at my mitzvot and aveiros. And that's why in 16 and 17, if I understand this Ribono Shel Olam commanding me, then I don't pick and choose the mitzvot. Well, this one's hard, this one's easy, I'll do this one, I won't do that one. It's irrelevant. If God has commanded me, then the same God who has commanded me to watch Negavatzer in the morning has commanded me not to read this or not to say this or to wear this, whatever it may be. I don't pick and choose. Whatever God has said, this is what I do. There has to be, first and foremost, an understanding, an acceptance, a Kabbalah, that God is indeed the one who is commanding us in our life. I'll just add parenthetically before moving on, just taking this idea one step further. The Sichor Yitzchaskut in Source 19 points out that this idea of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim, accepting God's yoke of kingship, is not only in the realm of mitzvot, that God has commanded me to do these things. But when I accept God's role as king over me, it applies to all areas of my life. That God is in control and has set up the scenarios for everything that transpires in my life. And my job is to be able to sing Shira to Hashem, to be Mamlechim, to coronate Him through all of these different elements in my life. And that's why I need to understand that Etzem, in the asterisk in 19, HaMatzavim Shalachayim Shali, Hem Shira Lashem, all life circumstances are mediums to sing to God. Havoda Yeshira Lashem, V'chol HaMatzavim Mitchatshim B'chol Rega, Hem HaKleim Zemer Shal Nigun HaNiflaze. All the things that happen to me are the instruments that play, or I have the ability to allow them, to direct them to play song to God. In simple English, what does this mean? It means that many of us, particularly as women, find ourselves in many different situations comes Rosh Hashanah. Some people are in shul the whole day, Rosh Hashanah. Some people switch off with another mother. One takes shacharis, one takes musaf, and the next day they switch. Some mothers only come for tkiyah shofar. Some mothers don't even come for tkiyah shofar. They hear shofar blowing later, and they're home with their kids all day. To be mekabel ol machut shamayim means that whatever situation I'm in, whether it's taking care of young people or taking care of an elderly parent or a sick person in the house, whatever situation that God has put me in this particular year, I need to recognize as Kabbalat Ol Machut Shamayim that this is where exactly God wants me to be. And instead of trying to fight it and be upset about it, I need to embrace it and realize that these are the instruments that I am going to have this year to sing Shira to Hashem. And this is what's best for me. Kabbalat Ol Machut Shamayim is not just realizing mitzvot are directed by Hashem. It's recognizing that every aspect of my life, everyone I meet, every experience I go through, all my challenges in life, all my life situations, wherever I may be, is directed by the Ribono Shel Olam. That is Rosh Hashanah in a nutshell. To be able to accept that there's a God who's intimately involved in my life, Kadosh Baruch Hu, who loves me deeply, who understands that this is the best for me. And my individual ability to be able to accept this, and whatever this may be, is my ability to accept Kabbalat Ol Machut Shamayim. That is living what Rosh Hashanah is all about. So we close that parenthesis and return back to mitzvot in general, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's a beautiful footnote in 18 that the Gedulei Musar brings of the Haftarah of Shuvah Yisrael Hashem Elokecha. If you are able to relate to Hashem as Elohim, as a God, not just doing mitzvot like an Amen Yitomah, like, you know, an Amen out of nowhere, but the mitzvot are minutakot, masharish, completely devoid of their root. They're just out in the air, but you rather do it because Hashem has commanded you, of Shuvah Yisrael, Hashem Elokecha, then, the end of the Pasuk, as Targish, Ki Kashalta Bavanecha, then you'll have that feeling, I stumbled in my sin. But if you don't have this feeling that God's commanded you, so then you say, you know what, blow the rah, so I didn't do this, I didn't do that. I don't have a feeling of accountability and responsibility unless I understand that it's the Kadosh Baruch Hu who's commanded me. And this is what Rabbi Yaakov Naiman, Shivan Petach Tikva Zatzal, speaks about in Derech Musar. We speak about on the Yom Kippur, Al Chei Chechatanu Lefanecha, on the sin that I've sinned Lefanecha, in front of you. First and foremost is the understanding that I was in front of you, that you are my melech, and I rebelled against you as my king. And he compares it to a person who's in the army. If a person is in the army and knows he's in the army, so then when he's standing, you know, on line, and the commander says you're missing a button, your shoes aren't polished, he can get punished for that. He's in the army, and there's a certain expectation. But if he's not even in the army, he's an MIA, so then there's a much bigger problem than lack of button or shoes aren't shined. He's not even in the army. First and foremost, we need to realize we're in the army. We can't even talk about a Yom Kippur, about Chei Chechatanu, for this thing that I've done, if I don't realize I'm in the army. First and foremost, join the army. First and foremost, realize there's a responsibility and expectation. Once you've done that, then you can be held accountable. So my friends, the two approaches that we've seen, approach number one, aside from the preliminary one, approach number one is that we have to walk into Rosh Hashanah be'ema ube'yura, like the shofar bent over. If I come in with Yom Kippur, you know, in pressed clothes, I'll have a little bit too much of a smug attitude, which will not be helpful for Rosh Hashanah. We need to be broken on Rosh Hashanah. Trua, teroim b'shevet barzel, shvarim, to be broken. The other side, 2a, is that Rosh Hashanah is first and foremost about accepting God as King. Only when I accept God as King do I have a framework and a structure to be able then to measure sins and mitzvot. But first and foremost, I have to be able to accept that God is my King. The Kabbalat HaMelechut Shamayim, the Shema before the Vayayim Shamoa. And that is the goal of Rosh Hashanah, to live for 48 hours, the pomegranate with the apple, hand in hand. The tremendous amount of mitzvot, but with that core that God's commanded me. And on a practical level, this means that on Rosh Hashanah, obviously practice now, it doesn't happen overnight, before doing any mitzvah, stop and say, I'm doing this mitzvah, or think, because Hashem's commanded me. Hashem's commanded me to wash my hands. Hashem's commanded me to say this bracha. Hashem's command, whatever it is, realize that this is what Hashem's commanded me. And in the other areas of my life, say, I have the privilege of playing dominoes with my kids on the floor because this is the life situation that Hashem has put me in. I'm taking care of an elderly parent and I'm not in shul because this is the situation that God has put me in. It's a realization. It's an articulation that this is where I need to be because kach sivani habore. Not to do mitzvot with no attachment to the source. And this is a challenge that we all struggle with. How often we do mitzvot like a remo, mitzvah after mitzvah after mitzvah. We could be, you know, gathering all these mitzvot, but never once do we think about there's a ribono shel olam. Never once do we connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why so often we feel so empty when we do mitzvot. It doesn't fill us. It doesn't ignite us like it should, and that's because we're missing that component of connecting it back to the core, to the apple, to the sense of all the seeds in one place that Hashem has commanded me. I want to take this idea of Hamlachas Hashem, of coronating Kadosh Baruch Hu, as that being the prerequisite before entering into Yom Kippur on a slightly deeper level. And this will be the mahalach, this will be the approach that I'd like to, Mirtz Hashem, work through for today. It's a little bit esoteric, I will confess, but I think it's beautiful nonetheless. Esoteric doesn't mean it's not beautiful, but work with me, we'll try to bring it down to the best of my ability, or to the best of your ability, we'll have you work a little bit, not only me. Rav Chaim HaKohen HaChavan, all of his work is very deep, but I think this is where it's at. He says, when we take a look at Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara clearly says, Imru Lufanai 21, Rosh Hashanah, Malchios, Sechronos, and Shofros. The key motif for Rosh Hashanah is God's kingship, God's remembrances, and the Shofar blast. And he asks a very basic question. Is not Rosh Hashanah Yom Hadin, a day of judgment? Why do we just focus on Malchios, Sechronos, and Shofros? Why are we not focusing? Why doesn't the Gemara speak about that we're being judged as well? And he presents us with that famous imagery of the Likutei Torah that on Rosh Hashanah, on Elul, HaMelech Basadeh, the king is out in the field. On Rosh Hashanah, the king is much closer to us. If during Elul, the king is in the field, on Rosh Hashanah, the king enters into the palace. What does this mean? The second asterisk in 22, Be'er HaDvarim, or to really an arrow. Shehinei b'meshach HaShanah, Kadosh Baruch Hu notein l'olam lizrom b'shetef ha'chayim harakil. All year round, God allows the world more or less to function according to regular rules. Hum alim erom emot machuto, he hides his exaltedness, k'dei l'avsher l'olam l'vatei et atzmo, so we have the ability, without losing our free choice, our bechira, to express ourselves at mashahu l'fi dargato. Hashem reveals himself in this world. He reveals himself in his exaltedness. Then, suddenly, the world takes on a different perspective. All year round, it's as if we're alone. We can do whatever we want. Suddenly, when the king appears, then you look at the world in a totally different way. And this idea that every person has a megama, has a purpose, has a yehud, has a destiny to fulfill in this world, suddenly takes on a whole different perspective. All year round, we go through our lives, sometimes we're focused on why we're here, sometimes and very often we're not. Suddenly, when Rosh Hashanah comes, we suddenly get jolted into, there's a purpose in this world. There's a reason for me being here. Ela shebemetziyus ha'chaim ha'regila, ofek ha'mabat shelanu alul liyot shitchi u'mitzumtzam. Often during our lives, we look at the world in a very superficial way. And we only see the tzad chitzoni, the externals, but we don't see ourselves in this true light. And we live a life b'nigud l'pnimiyut shelanu, not in sync with the core of who we are. And that is why we so often get lost in ourselves. You know, it reminds me of a conversation I had with somebody who was telling me that she was in America for the summer, and she said, I got so totally lost there that I didn't even realize it was Elul. She said, I had 10 iced coffees a day, I had a manicure, and I went shopping. Now, there's nothing wrong with iced coffee. I personally have never tried iced coffee. I've never tried a manicure. I'm ready to confess publicly. But there's nothing wrong with it. And there's nothing wrong with shopping. Within limits. But to spend the day with iced coffee, manicures, and shopping, and this is what she said to me, I've lost myself. I lost my depth. I lost. What am I here in this world for? And all of us, whether it's iced coffee or whether it's our, Diet Coke, it's irrelevant. It's an imagery where we sometimes, not sometimes, get so lost in life. And particularly at this time of the year, I think all of us can say that anyone who has a school-aged child is lost. And, the teacher wants this type of notebook, and they want this type of uniform, and I need this type of pencil. And all I'm thinking about are the technical details of life. Who can think about why God put me in this world? Who can think about what my mission is in this world? I have much more important things to think about. Is it a lead pencil? Or is it a regular pencil? Is it this type of eraser? Okay, now obviously it's not more important. But, this is priorities. Rosh Hashanah is that jolt into reality. As our Pinchas Roberts speaks about on the Kapitel of Tehillim that we say, Evol David Hashem Ori Yishimi Mi'ira, Chazal say in the Medrash, Ori, my light is Rosh Hashanah, V'yishi, my salvation is Yom Kippur. What does it mean that Rosh Hashanah is my light? So the arrow in 24, every Jew is born with a mission to fulfill. His task is to perform as many mitzvot as possible and to bring honor to Hashem at every opportunity. All other activities, physical and material, are of secondary importance. And if we live with this perspective, we'll merit Olam Haba. Hashem, however, has created the Satan, whose duty it is to try and make a Jew forget his true purpose in this world and lose sight of the correct priorities. Instead of concentrating on spiritual achievement, the Satan persuades them to focus more on material gains and to aim for wealth, luxury, and physical indulgence. These temporal pleasures are presented as being credible pursuits. Olam Hazeh, this world is projected so attractively that he begins to believe that this is what life is all about. And Olam Haba, in spirituality, is all pushed into the background. This picture, however, is an illusion. Olam Hazeh may seem real and worthwhile. And that iced coffee is very tasty. But he doesn't say that, I added that. But in fact, everything it offers is deceptive. And he brings a beautiful mashal of Yehuda Leib Chasman, who says in 26, the story is told of an ignorant villager who heard that in the big city there's something called a cinema, where one can see all sorts of spectacular events taking place. He therefore saved up to buy a ticket, was ushered into a dark room with a big screen upon which he could view cars in motion, huge buildings and mountains, and he was positively entranced. But one thing disturbed him greatly. The room was so dark. Impulsively, he stood up and switched on the nearest light, and wonders of wonders, the whole picture faded away. Ever-present shouted at him, "Fool! Put out the light! Don't you know that the whole spectacle only appears when it's dark? The light makes everything vanish." Rosh Hashanah Shem Ori is that light that causes the imagery of the Satan to disappear. Throughout the year, we live in darkness, caught up in illusory existence and chasing after things that seem to be good and beneficial. At the advent of this day of judgment, when every Jew stops to contemplate his lifestyle and becomes introspective, he begins to see things differently and to question. Is it not time to concentrate more on studying Torah and practicing kindness to others? Rosh Hashanah is Ori, one sees things in their true light, and the deceptive glamour of this world fades away. What does it mean that Hashem is Melech? What does it mean that Hashem is King? So on the first level, 2A, Hashem is King means that there's somebody who's commanding me and controlling my environment. But on 2B, we take this a little bit deeper, and then when Mirtz Hashem, will take it even deeper in a moment, Mirtz Hashem. And that is, if there's a Ribono Shalolam, if there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu who created me, then God, who by very definition is a spiritual being, has created this world for a spiritual purpose, and I therefore must have purpose in this world, and I must accomplish a mission in this world. And it's very fascinating, going back to this friend of mine, the iced coffee and the manicure, remember? So she was saying to me, Shira, when you go to America, you know, I go once or twice a year, do you feel this? So I told her the honest truth is I don't. I said, I'm so busy teaching that, you know, I'm just on a whirlwind trip. So she said to me, Shira, you're lucky, you have a message to give over. I don't have a message to give over. And I felt like saying to her, I didn't, because I tried to be nice. It's hard, but I tried. You also have a message to give over. You're also somebody who's not a shallow person. You have depth. You chose to be, you know, caught up in this world of superficiality. But we all have a mission. We all have a statement. And we all have a vision that we can share with other people. That you don't have to fall into, well, my kids watch Disney all summer. What could I do? You don't have to fall into that. That's a choice that you make. Again, nothing wrong with Disney. Don't get me wrong. To every person, you know, they usually don't see Disney in Israel. So that's a choice. That's what I'm saying. Do we live with this understanding that we have a mission? Do I live with this understanding every day of Rabbi Munatecha that Hashem has faith in me, that He believes that I'm here today because I can offer something to the world that nobody else can offer? As I read just recently a great line of saying, don't try to be anybody else. All those parts are taken already. Be yourself. And that's it. If I'm already have to be myself because everyone else has taken all the other roles, then I have to live up to what God has envisioned for me. You're right. I may not have a clue of what He's envisioned for me. But I know that He's put in a holy neshama into me. And if I believe that He is God, then the upshot of that is that I have godliness in me, and I am a spiritual being, and I can't live my whole life with physical indulgence without giving credence and attention to that spiritual part of me. And that's my challenge. And that is where I need to allow Rosh Hashanah every year to be that light that turns off the cinema, so to speak, and allows me to ask myself, and this is introspection that I need to do in Rosh Hashanah, particularly by Tkiyah Shofar, one question: who am I? And by Tkiyah Shofar, to be able to say, I'm an Eved HaMelech, I'm a servant of the King, and I'm ready to serve You. I'm ready to live more of a spiritual existence than I have led till now. I have purpose in my life, and I want to live a life full of purpose and meaning. Now, I think there's something else that is found in what does it mean that God is King, which is the theme of Rosh Hashanah. What does it mean when I recognize this reality? So again, one, it means that He's the commander of my commandments. I have to connect the two together, not a pomegranate and an apple. Two, it means that I recognize that all experiences of my life are tailor-made for me. Three, it means that I must have spiritual purpose in this world. And four, and this is, I think, is the Chiddush, is a novel idea for today, is what the Chalvan says, back to 28. Rosh Hashanah is the time, not where God just reveals Himself. He reveals Himself in the guise of a king, the shofar, the coronation of the king, over and over again. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Lomved, right? The piyut we say, God was king, God is king, God will be king. Melech, Malchios is the theme of the day. Vayashem lo Melech HaKol HaAretz. Gilui Midah Machuto Davar Sheyesh Lo Hashlacha. The idea that God is King has direct ramifications on not only in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in terms of me as well. What does this mean? So he notes in 29, the Maharal speaks about the melech, he melashon holacha, to walk. A melech leads us to completion. And he describes what this means, and he says, if I understand that God is king, and I understand that I am his servant, so then I am not just a servant, I'm a servant of this king. And if this king is an exalted being, then I, who am its servant, is ipso facto an exalted state as well. You know what it's like, my friends, if you would meet somebody and you would ask them, well, what do you do for a living? They'd say, you know, I'm a guard of a bank. You say, very nice. You meet somebody and you say, what do you, you know, who are you? And they say, I'm a guard at Buckingham Palace. You're impressed. You're one of those beefy guys at Buckingham Palace. Why? Is the guy in Buckingham Palace any greater than the guy who's watching the bank? No. But the Buckingham Palace individual is guarding the Queen. And that uniform and that stature gives them a different stature in this world. You're a guard at Buckingham Palace. We are the Evid of the King, which means, and this is the fourth idea, that if I am the Evid, if I am the servant of the King, I, by definition, have meaning, and I am elevated beyond the smallness of me into a much greater role. I'm not just little old me. I am a servant of the King. I have something major to do in this world. Mimela Adam Alul Az, when a person recognizes this, Nimsa, rather, Sha'ofik HaChayim, HaModed V'Kover Et Harachat Adam Et Atzmo, Hu Ofik Namuch She'non Mudal L'Chashivut Optimit She'yesh L'Adam B'Tor Netzik Shel HaMelech Al Yobe Metziyut. If I don't understand this, if I just look at myself in little old me, it's very narrow. It's very small. I take up, a grain of sand is the space I take up in this world. But suddenly, the sand takes on a whole different value. This rock doesn't become just a little rock, it's a diamond in comparison to the fact that I am part of the King's entourage. And this is the idea of B'Gvo Ma'odei Hashem, the Rav Rashi of Rehovot, Rasimcha Cohen Cook's son, Rabban Tzion Cook, speaks about that there are two mindsets in people doing, in Source 30, mitzvah. Some just think about, I'm going to do the mitzvah, and little old me, and it only affects me, and maybe, a couple of people around me, and it's a very narrow vision. And there are others who say, no, I am an Evid of the King. I am a servant of God, and what I do affects other people as well. And I'm doing this because this is what's going to bring about greater godliness in the world. And you move beyond the smallness of you into a much larger parameter. And again, the prerequisite of this is hachana, is humility. Because if all you think about is yourself, then there's no room for God. But if you're thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then you understand that what I do has implications to bring about the glory of God in this world, and my job is move from very, very narrow smallness into much larger greatness. Rabbi Spiro, touched by story number 5, number 4, speaks about a very interesting personality. Gershon Liebman, who was one of the founders, the Ud Mutzal Me'esh, one of the survivors of the Holocaust, who really rebuilt France into a, rejuvenizing it into a Torah Center. So he tells a story about Rabbi Liebman, which gives us a sense of this mindset. Just to give you a sense of who Rabbi Liebman was, let me tell a story that Rabbi Spiro tells before I tell the story I want to tell. He was in Bergen-Belsen, and once while working, a guard comes over to him and says, come with me. And he brings him to the commando's office. And he said the stark contrast between the conditions that people were in Bergen-Belsen and this commando's office was just like shocking. The commander is eating on fine china, silver, crystal goblet, and on this table with all this finery there is a pig in the center of the table. And the tablecloth was a talus. And obviously this was staged. from Lehman's thesis, and without even really thinking, all he could think about is how could this towelless be the tablecloth of such a disgusting, I don't even know what the word to call it, spectacle. And he grabs the towelless from underneath, and everything goes flying on the commander. The wine, the pig, you got the whole thing. And he wraps the talus around himself, and he starts crying. He says, "Talus, talus, I beg forgiveness for the bizoyo, for the humiliation that you had to be put through." Now, obviously, he thought he was going to be a dead man doing such a thing. You could well imagine, you know, the next thing is a bullet in your head. He got beat up pretty badly, but he survived this incident. And the story that I like to share, that Rabbi Spiro brings down, is after they were liberated, one of the soldiers comes into this barrack where he was alone, and he found the Gemara, Wonders of Wonders, of Basra, I think, one of the Babas, and he's sitting and learning. And the soldier said to him, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm opening a yeshiva." And he's alone in the room. And he says, the soldier says, "Well, who's the Rosh Yeshiva?" He says, "I am." The soldier says, "Well, who's the fundraiser?" He says, "I am." So the soldier looks around and he says, "Well, who are the students?" And Rabbi Lieben says, "When there is no one else to do jobs, you don't ask who's going to do what. You just step to the plate and do this, because this is what is needed to create godliness in this world. I'm the student. I'm the Rosh Yeshiva. I'm the fundraiser. I'm the student. We need a yeshiva. You don't ask questions. You do it." This soldier became a student of Rav Liebman's in France. This is a person who has that vision of stepping beyond self. And I think, my friends, this is the imagery that we need to think about on Rosh Hashanah. If we've spoken about the imagery, again, of God being king means there's a commander. It means all my life situations are in His hands. It means that I have an accountability in my life. It also means that I, by definition, have importance because I am part of the royal entourage. And that moves me from the narrowness of me into a state of expansiveness, because whatever I do has major ramifications in this world. It's not just about the smallness of my life. And that, my friends, is exactly the imagery of the shofar. The shofar, we know, is narrow at the top, or at the where we blow it, and then is open at the other end. It goes from narrowness to expansiveness. And you know that we were just at a shofar factory last week on vacation. Vacation was a good shofar factory, was amazing. That this part, the narrow part where we blow from, is where it is stopped up. That has to be drilled to allow the sound to go through. That's our avoda. Our avoda, our service, has to be to move beyond our narrowness into expansiveness. This is what the pasuk, one of the pasukim we say before Tkiyah Shofar. Min ha-metzar karati ka. From the narrow straits I call out to you, Hashem. Anani b'merchav ka. Answer me from a place of expansiveness. When we say that, pasuk, my friends, let's think about ourselves, how we look at our lives, just thinking about school uniforms, erasers, pencils, but we lose sight that I'm raising a child who's part of the army of Hashem, that I'm raising a child who's going to be able to also be somebody who's going to bring godliness into this world. It's not just about their pencil, their eraser. It's about investing in them to be the best servant of the king that they can be. Move away, mina meitzar karatika, move away from the narrowness into the expansiveness. Be able to see life on a larger plane. Rosh Hashanah should envelop us in a feeling of exaltedness, of being raised up, of feeling like al kanfei nisharim, that we're on eagle's wings, and whatever we do, we're doing the will of God. And what a good feeling that brings me, and what happiness that brings me. And I'm on, you know, a soldier Buckingham Palace doesn't complain that he's in that hot suit for four hours, whatever it is. It's a privilege. We don't complain that we have a 3-day yontif where I have to cook so many meals and do so many dishes. What a pleasure! What a schuz! I am part of the king's repertoire. And that's why says the Talei Chaim Rechavanim 34, when a person sees himself in this light, he's minayer minatarti ma'arikila shalom, we wake up from the sleep that we're in, and we see ourselves be'ofek rachav, harbe yoter minofek mitzumsam, from the narrow light, memelo kolet az ad kama haitai negutok tana b'shashi b'dal esmo b'nutak ma'amelech. And then, when you're able to see yourself from this vantage point, when you're able to see yourself as I am an emissary of the king, and what that means, and the implications of my life, that I'm a totally different person, that when I act, I don't act from smallness, I act from greatness. I look back over the year, and I say, wow, this is totally different than I've been doing till now. Look at where I was in smallness, and look at where I can be in greatness. And that is the Sod HaDin. When I see who I can be from this perspective, and how I live my life in such small detail without seeing the greatness inherent in me, that chasm between the two, that's where my judgment comes in. That's where God judges me. We spoke about this last week as well. Where I can be and where I am. That's the judgment. So Malchus, when I bring about and coronate God as king, and the upshot of that is that I am part of this kingship, that brings about within me a feeling of greatness, a feeling of responsibility, of accountability, of realization, of light. And then I look at the narrowness of how I live my life. That disparity is what brings on the din. And that's why in 39, we sometimes have challenges in life. Those challenges are like taking the wheels off a car that you know, or put a puncture, a flat tire in a car that you know is going into a ditch or an abyss. Stop! Where are you headed? And sometimes one gets more fuel because one's on a good path and needs more. So the decisions of Rosh Hashanah on where and what we're going to get is very much dependent. Are you on a road going to the abyss, driving yourself into narrowness? Or are you on the road of expansiveness and growth? And these are the things you're going to need to grow more. The Tkiyah Shofar is the time of Trua, not from Teroim, from being broken at the first level, but Trua from Reyus, from friendship. Where now I turn to Hashem and say, listen to, in Source 40, my deep desire, lishtayech b'rtzoneinu el ritzon Hashem, to be able to come close to you, Hashem. I have this she'ifa to be able to have a panim el panim relationship. The depth of my being is that I want to connect with you, Hashem. That I want to recognize this role. And I want to live up to this role. Hashem, help me. Listen to what my deep desire is. Hu ratzon amok mevakesh yetziat ratzon Hashem et kirvas Elokim hatova. So when we are listening to the Kol Shofar, on the one hand, we recognize that this is a wake-up call to see where have I been and where am I going. On the other hand, it's that smallness into greatness. And when I listen to the Shofar, I'm listening as a resonating sound to that deep voice within me that says, you know what? There are so many moments of my life that I've wasted, where I've lost clarity. Hashem, you know what? Help me. Because really, all I want to do is to be the best servant I can be. All I want to do is to make myself and those around me have the most meaningful life possible. And I don't want to live just with ice coffees and manicures. I want to live a life of a message. I want to be that message. I want to be a person who has depth, who doesn't live this superficial life, who has meaning in my life. Help me move from the superficiality to the depth. Help me allow that inner voice within me to take on a stronger sound. And at that point, we turn to Hashem in 45 and we say, all that we've done this year that hasn't been aligned with who I really am is a ta'ut b'ktovet. It's really a mistake in the dress. This isn't who I really am. This is who I really am. Hashem, look at me. It's who I really am. All that I've done, it wasn't really me. And then God judges us by Sherusham, where I am now. What is crucial is that I have this depth of feeling of this is who I want to be. And Hashem, help me be this type of person. He gives a great mashal in 46 and 47, where he says, imagine a kid, you know, a 6-7-year-old kid wants to bake a cake for his mother who's at work. But he doesn't know how to make the cake. So he takes out the cocoa and the sugar and the flour and the oil, right? And he watches his mother. And he starts pouring things in any which way. Well, my friends, I don't need to describe to you what that house looked like when the mom came home. It was a terrible mess. And the mother walks in and she's screaming, "What happened here?" Now, the boy has two options. One is he can lower his head and say, "Mommy, I'm so sorry I made a mess." And that, my friends, is what the first level was about, that I come with a broken heart, with a come with a recognition of I'm a mess, the place is a mess, I'm covered from head to toe, everything's a mess, and that feeling of contriteness and brokenness is one way of approaching Hashem, and that's one aspect of Rosh Hashanah, and that's the Malkeinu, that's the God is my king, and there's a certain level of fear. But then there's another way we could turn to this mother, and we could say, "Mommy, I did this to make you a cake. I wanted to make you happy. I just didn't know how to do it right." And then the mother breaks into a smile and hugs this little kid and says, "I love you too. I realize that you were trying to do it for your best. You just didn't know the right way to do it. Let me teach you." That's the second level. That's understanding Avinu, that I turn to Hashem not only as my king, but as my father, as someone I'm connected with, someone I'm part of, someone who I want to be able to serve in the best way possible, someone who I want to make proud of me at all times. But sometimes I get lost. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes the cocoa and the flour get all over the place and I get lost. And it happens. I made a mess. And that's Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is first, I recognize my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I want to please Him, that I want to be His, part of His entourage, part of His servants, that I want to be part of this royal palace. It gives me the greatest pride possible. But then I realize when I am at this state of God, I just want to be the best servant I can be. And then I look down and I say, boy, have I made a mess this year. Cocoa, flour all over the place. You know what? I tried my best. I messed up. Hashem, I'm going to clean up this mess, and I'm going to try a little bit harder next year. Rosh Hashanah is recognizing the relationship, and then Yom Kippur is cleaning up the mess and trying harder next year. And that's why Rosh Hashanah is before Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is the day where we're able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're able to see His greatness. We're able to see our own greatness, our own relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our own importance. And once I'm able to see this, then I can realize, you know what? What a mess I've made. And I want to clean it up myself. Not out of fear, not out of that army mindset, but out of love. That how could I look this way? How could I make a mess when I have such a close and special relationship with the King? My friends, in conclusion, what we try to see today, albeit very, very deep ideas and very, very special ideas. Why is Rosh Hashanah before Yom Kippur? First level, because you can't come in feeling too smug. Break yourself. Everything is on the line. You're totally dependent on Hashem. You need to be able to have that brokenness, that filth, that allows you that feeling of brokenness to be able to walk into Rosh Hashanah with the correct perspective that you are deserving of nothing, and you have to be like an ani mevakeh shel hapetach, like a poor person at the doorstep, and it's all a gift of God. On the second level, it's a much different feeling. to A, moves us into this different feeling, that God is our melech, that God is our king. And if we need to be able to accept God as our king before I can accept the consequences of what that means. God is our king in terms of mitzvos. Not only live a pomegranate life, live an apple life, a core. God is our king in terms of all life situations in life. And if I realize that God is a king, then I have to be in uniform and see where I've messed up. But that is the middle level of that strict judgment of God as my king, that I have a relationship with him, that I move to. God is my king, and I have a purpose in life because he's my king. On the one hand, I have a spiritual mission in this world. The light goes on, the cinema is over, the facades are over. I stop with my superficiality of life, and I take a hard look. And what am I all about? The Rosh Hashanah Tkiya Shofar is that wake-up call that I ask myself, who am I? What are my goals? What type of person do I want to live? Do I want to continue living this type of way? Even if we live a spiritual life, our lives could be even that much greater of a spiritual reality. And much deeper than that, when I realize that God is my king, I realize that I am part of Ki, Lahavdil, the Buckingham Palace, that I have worth. And my worth moves beyond me from the narrowness of me into a much greater expanse. I mean, I'm Meitzar Karatika, Anani B'merchavka, the shofar, the smallness into the expanse. That imagery, we have to drill a hole through the narrowness to recognize that we need to work hard moving beyond the smallness of little me. And what difference does it make in my life to realize that what I do creates, I'm the Rosh Yeshiva, I'm the fundraiser, I'm the student, I am whatever God needs for me to be, to have Kvod Shamayim, to have godliness in this world. I pull that talis because of the bizayon of the defacement of that talis. I recognize that there's a higher reality than myself. And that brings me to a feeling of closeness to the king. That I'm part of him. He's part of me. The breath that I blow from the shofar is the breath of life that God has blown into me, that I blow back to him. It's a relationship. It's closeness. And then when I feel this closeness to God, I'm able to turn to him, not just saying, I'm sorry I made a mess, but I wanted to make this cake for you. I want a relationship with you. And when I feel that closeness and relationship, and I realize that I have purpose and life has purpose, and zichronos, the remembrances, are for a purposeful reason, that there's consequences to my actions. Otherwise, why bother remembering something? I remember something because what I do, what I have done is important. When I realize all of this, so my relationship to Hashem is such where I say, you know what, God? I can't believe what a mess I've made. Come Yom Kippur, and out of my own being, I want to clean up this mess. I want to come back to you and try a little bit harder next year. I wish all of us a Ksiva Chasima Tova, a Shana Tova, and we should be successful in making God king over us in all the areas that we spoke about today.